It's time for another Og Blog podcast. Another 10 minutes or so of some geek with too many peanuts books yammering away at you about. I am said geek, Nat Gertler, the Og Blogger, and professional peanuts nerd. As I've said before, I love peanuts because it's great, a true masterwork, meaningful and impactful and insightful. But many of my favorite things that I have as a peanuts collector, I love not because they're great and necessary, but because they're weird. They are unlikely. As good as a collection of strips about Snoopy writing novels might be, they don't thrill me quite as much as having a film strip, say, where the Peanuts characters talk about maybe living underwater in the future as a way of teaching kids about career planning. Peanuts is so powerful that it has been wielded in many ways over the years, some of them obvious and some of them not. Now, today I'm talking about one of those that's not. I'm talking about a booklet that is rather obscure. Last time I checked, the Schultz Museum doesn't even have one. I've only ever run into one other collector that does. I am talking about The GMPs According to Peanuts. The what? I hear you ask through my unique time-traveling two-way podcast device. The GMPs. GMP'S. And if you don't know what that means, well, that's okay. The authors of this booklet expect that. There's actually an asterisk after GMPs in the title. That's right, it's a title with a footnote. Now, that's not unique, as readers of the bestseller Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Sex, asterisk footnote, but were afraid to ask, could tell you. But this footnote is a little longer than, but were afraid to ask. No, this footnote is, quote, good manufacturing processes for human foods, unquote, as prescribed by the Food and Drug Administration, Department of Health, Education and Welfare, period, open parentheses, part 128, comma, title 21, comma, Code of Federal Regulations, close parentheses, period. That is a mouthful, isn't it? And I know what you are thinking. That sort of specific citation means that this is one of those U.S. government publications that uses the Peanuts characters to help discuss a topic for the common man. But you're wrong, or maybe I'm wrong in thinking that I know what you're thinking. The important point is that somebody is wrong, and I'm not about to admit it's me. No, wait. The important point is that this is not a government publication. No, this is a publication of the Coca-Cola Corporation. This full-color 8.5 by 11 folded over, so it's 8.5 by 5.5 brochure, a comic book really, was something that the good people at Coke, I assume it was the good people, perhaps it was the evil people, I really have not looked into the ethical balances at Coke, but anyway, this was something that some people at Coke put together for a specific audience, the people who work at their bottling plants. Now, Coke has some history with Peanuts. It was, after all, their request that got a Peanuts Christmas special made, turning television into a major venue for Peanuts. And that paid off nicely for them. But that was back in 1965, and this booklet came out in some later time. I've not yet pinned it down exactly. There's no copyright date on the booklet itself. It does list copyright dates for some of the characters, but that just shows when the characters were redesigned. Folks often get confused by that on Peanuts goods. There will be a line somewhere that says, Snoopy, copyright 1958, and they assume that means that the product was manufactured in 1958, when all it means was that they were using the 1958 version of Snoopy. But thanks to the character copyright dates, we know that this booklet could not have been before 1971, because it has a character designs copyright 1971. But the text says that the unique quality and flavor of a product must be consistent and must be protected. Bottlers of Coca-Cola have been doing just that for nearly a century. At first, I assumed that that meant that this had been published a little before 1986, because Coca-Cola was invented in 1886. But a little more research fuzzes that up a bit. While it was invented in 1886, it wasn't bottled until 1894. Before that, it was a fountain drink. So this could have been published as late as 1993. I didn't get my copy till 2005. Turn the cover of The GMPs According to Peanuts, and yes, of course, that title is a reference to The Gospel According to Peanuts, Robert L. Short's best-selling book using the Peanuts comic strip as a lens to look at biblical teachings. And inside is a comic book story. Well, the top two-thirds of each page are a comic book story, 52 panels in all, telling a tale about Charlie Brown running a lemonade stand, deciding to start bottling his product. In doing so, he has to eliminate possible sources of contamination, which in his case include a dog and a bird. The bottom third of the page is text, discussing in more in real terms the concerns being voiced in these pages of the story. So, if Lucy is telling Charlie Brown to make sure that the lemonade stand is away from the dusty street and doesn't have any overhanging branches, the text below is talking about how plant grounds have to be maintained so they don't become inviting to rodents and insects. And paved parking lots help keep dirt from being treaded into the plant. We learn that personal hygiene is important. Smoking, eating, and drinking, even specifically drinking of Coca-Cola, must be done only in designated areas. And poor Pigpen understands why he has to be kept out of the lemonade business altogether. Now, some of you may think it rather silly to be talking to a professional work crew about a vital thing like plant sanitation via a comic book. But I have in my collection, in the non-peanuts portion of the grand accumulation of books and comics I have in this house, a couple issues of PS Magazine, which is an army magazine for those engaged in preventive maintenance, making sure that military vehicles and equipment stay in top working order. And each issue shows maintenance on different items being performed in a highly illustrated or comic book story. And for much of the magazine's run, most of that maintenance was done by sexy women. Why? Because the audience for this was largely male, and they wanted people to pay attention. Comic book stories more inviting to read than flat prose. The pictures helped keep the maintenance understandable. And a large portion of the readership would be more willing to read about a sexy woman than some other regular maintenance dork. I know that if I find myself in sudden need of maintenance on my M203 40mm grenade launcher, I will go out searching for the first buxom blonde I can find. Now, the artwork of the GMP comic is pretty clearly reworked, repurposed Charles Schulz art taken from the strip. Whoever reworked it did a good job, but when a character holds something in their hands, you can tell as things become awkward. Still, it's a pretty impressive little document to aim at a narrow audience like that. I've always kind of wanted this story to find a home somewhere, not because anyone really needs it, but because it exists. I'm not sure that there's ever the right excuse. Although, I suspect that if Chip Kidd knew about this booklet, it would have ended up in one of his books of pictures of peanut stuff. And if you want to find one of these, well, good luck to you. I've only seen one other copy for sale in the year since I bought mine. Although, someone got a good deal on that, just $8. I suspect there are more of these out there, but more in the hands of Coca-Cola collectors than peanuts collectors. Well, the clock on the wall tells me that that it's time to buy new batteries for the clock on the wall. That time ain't right at all. If you want to see a shot or two of this book, stop by the blog at augh.com. That's AAUGH.com. And they'll be in the entry for this podcast. If you have any comments, complaints, suggestions for future broadcasts, or downloadable massages, send them to questions@augh.com. And until next time, may you keep all fuzzy-faced dog fur out of your lemonade. May the road wheel on your M1 tank only need remounting when there are plenty of well-trained blonde ladies to help you. And may all your griefs be good ones.